This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Stop Waiting For It to Get Easier Mastermind and Coaching Programs. Now is the time to create your dream business, and Jim Palmer is the perfect coach to help you get that done. Jim offers three different coaching programs, and as a member of his mastermind group, you'll also benefit from the advice, wisdom, and inspiration of other successful entrepreneurs. Learn more about Jim's mastermind and coaching programs at www.thenewsletterguru.com/coaching. www.thenewsletterguru.com/coaching. And get started building your dream business today. That's www.thenewsletterguru.com/coaching.
This is John Taffer from Bar Rescue, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And those are always great things in any business. I am your host, Jim Palmer. I'm the Dream Business Coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm really excited about this week's show because my special guest is freelance writer Rebecca Livermore. Let me tell you a little bit about Rebecca. She is a writer and the owner and founder of Professional Content Creation, a company focused on having training and helping small business owners how to use effectively content to market their business. While she's worked on as a content manager and podcast producer for leaders in social media and content marketing industries, she's passionate about helping emerging business leaders expand their reach and influence. Rebecca is a strong believer in social media and content marketing, knowing that businesses that embrace these types of marketing are far more likely to succeed in today's world than those stuck with the traditional old-school ways of marketing. Rebecca, thank you so much for being on my program this week. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim, and just thanks so much for having me.
Oh, I've been looking forward to having you on my program, and there was one point we were supposed to do this a couple of weeks ago, but
right.
I think I was having my live event. I was just going crazy. So anyway, so this week, we're going to talk about a lot of things, kind of content creation mode. I specifically want to ask you about blogging and the most common problems and solutions relating to blogging. Because there's social media blogging, there's, still article marketing, although you don't hear too much about that anymore, but social media, video, podcasting, all these different things, but I really believe that a blog is still, kind of the heart and soul of a business that uses content creation. So, first of all, why should entrepreneurs and small business owners care about blogging today?
Well, like you said, a blog is really the heart of your presence online, and especially when it comes to your content. So, like, let's say social media is important, obviously, and we all are on social media, but a lot of what we can do on social media is share this content that we write and we put on our blog. And so everything else that we do can drive traffic back to our blog. And even if you put content on other platforms like YouTube, it's fantastic to use that same content on your blog. And one thing that it's really important for people to keep in mind is that your blog is the one piece of online real estate that you really own, whereas YouTube and all these other things that are fantastic, they could change their terms of service or, we don't expect them to, but they could disappear overnight. So a blog is really the best place to invest the bulk of your time and energy online because it's that one thing that is truly yours.
It is. Like you say, it's real estate you own. I know a lot of people, myself included, not 100% me, but Facebook has been very important.
Right.
I have no idea how many social media platforms there are. There's got to be hundreds really today. But social media, I think Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter are probably still the big bohemus right. in the room. But Facebook has changed in a way. I mean, I used to post something, and I could always count on the usual 30 to 50 people either liking it, reposting it, or something like that. And I don't even reach some of those people. In fact, some of them have been with me for a number of years. I saw them at my Dream Business Academy. I said, "Do you still see my Facebook?" He goes, "No, are you still doing Facebook?" I'm like, "Damn." You know, so that's just one example of how things can change. So you really need more than, first of all, always need more than one way to market, but that, like you say, you can't control what Facebook's doing. You know, has blogging, Rebecca, has it become kind of passé compared to some of the new and more sexy social media strategies?
You know, a lot of times, I mean, for a number of years, people have said blogging is dead, and yet it continues to grow. Now, I will say that it is much harder to become established, I think, as a blogger, to become known as a blogger than it used to be, because there are so many blogs. So one thing that a lot of people are doing now is podcasting. Aren't as many podcasts nowadays as there are blogs. And so podcasting is definitely a good option. But again, even that, I put the podcast on my blog. So I would say that blogging still definitely has a place, and it's still an effective way to build a platform.
What do you see as the biggest challenges with blogging, and you know, how are the people that work with you and your students, et cetera, how do you address these challenges? Because, you know, there is nothing constant but change, and, you know, in today's world, things are changing so rapidly. You know, how do you handle some of these challenges?
Well, I would say definitely there are challenges to blogging, and in some ways, though, people can view this as to their advantage, because what happens when something is challenging is a lot of people will not stick with it. So if you're the type that will stick with blogging, you're going to win out over those who just kind of poop out and stop doing it consistently. But one of the challenges, and I just kind of use the word, was consistency. People have a hard time being consistent with their blogging. They might have a hard time coming up with content ideas. They may not like to write. And so there's a number of different challenges, but the good news is there are solutions to every one of those challenges. So a lot of it is just a determination that you're going to do it and stick with it is one of the key ways to break through that and to see success in blogging.
What would you say are the top maybe one or two challenges associated with blogging?
Okay, so a lot of people say they don't have enough time, and that is definitely a difficulty. I mean, I know we all feel like we have a gazillion and one things that we need to be doing as part of our business, and blogging is something that's kind of like added on to everything else. But a key thing to remember when it comes to time and blogging is, first of all, if you determine that it's important, you make time for it. You make time for anything that you feel is valuable. Another thing to keep in mind with that is that you have to kind of develop your own blogging rhythm. So let's say that you've read that, oh, you should blog every day or three times a week or what have you, and you end up giving up because you just can't keep up with that. Well, maybe your blogging rhythm is once a week or something like that. So I think that is a real important aspect to consider when it comes to the time thing, is be realistic about how much time that you can devote to blogging and then make a commitment and be consistent in that, rather than trying to do what everybody else seems to think that you should do.
You said blogging rhythm. I really latched onto that term. That's pretty cool. Because I totally believe in consistency and persistency, but right. You know, when you're successful marketers are usually consistent marketers, and so to me it's like when people, well, I don't have time for that. Well, that could be true, or you're not spending your time on the right things also. You know, in my core business, which is newsletter marketing, you know, I tell people, if you want to prove that newsletters don't work, then launch your brand new newsletter with all the fanfare. This is our new monthly newsletter. We care about you as customers, blah, blah, blah. And then launch your second month, like 4 months later. I mean, that, you know, that right there,
yeah.
Basically it's not building the momentum it should. And it's also telling your customers, it's telegraphing that this isn't important. This is something we're going to do when we have time. And so in the blogging world, I think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but if someone says, you know, if someone's used to, in your words, if the rhythm of their blog is like Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then next week they only do it Tuesday, and then the next week they do it Friday, Saturday, that's better than nothing, but don't you think they should keep kind of the same, people come to expect the same type of rhythm, I guess?
Yeah, I would say definitely. And, you know, going back to your newsletter example, you know, the monthly newsletter, for some people, maybe it should be every other month, you know, and that's what then people expect. And then they're not, you know, disappointed when your monthly newsletter only comes out every other month. So some of that is determining what you can do. And then, as you said, being consistent with that. And so sometimes people start off with all this energy and enthusiasm, and maybe it's best to use that to get ahead, like let's say with a weekly blog post. Maybe you have time at first or the energy and enthusiasm to write a couple blog posts a week, but maybe instead of just doing that and then the next week not having any time, working ahead a little bit and, again, being consistent with what you do.
How important are likes and shares and comments and things like that? I mean, that's, as a content producer myself, that's, I don't live and die by that, but it's always fun to see it. I was just at an event as we're doing this show here. I was at an event in Chicago where I spoke to about 125 entrepreneurs. I bet half a dozen of them came up and said, oh, we love your videos, and they actually named some of the ones, so I knew they were watching. Yet when I do my videos, I can see, well, on my YouTube channel, I can see counts. I don't necessarily see on some of the other websites I post to, but so I'm always wondering, is anybody even watching these? You know, right. And then lo and behold, a bunch of people will say, oh, we love them. So yet people don't feel compelled to like it or share it or even comment on it. And I think that drives some entrepreneurs crazy who crave feedback.
Right. Well, first of all, we all love to be validated. And when we see a like or a comment or, you know, a tweet or whatever it may be, then we're like, oh, you know, and we feel really good about it. So it makes sense that we all want that to happen. But one thing to keep in mind is that you can't take your comments to the bank. I mean, and a lot of people put so much emphasis on comments, and they feel like they're doing really well if they get a lot of comments, but maybe they're not making any money. On the other hand, someone else might not get a lot of comments, and yet people are, you know, purchasing things and all of that. So it's important to measure the things that really matter, and comments aren't necessarily that. And in fact, some top bloggers or blogs like Copyblogger have turned off their comments and just chosen not to even have that be an element on their blog anymore. So it's, I think part of it too is there are other issues with comments, like let's say spam or that type of thing, that just make them kind of difficult to deal with. And again, they're not really what makes the bottom line in terms of whether or not your business or your blog is successful.
What do you think about Google Analytics, Rebecca? I mean, how often should they be looking at that, or is that similar to what you said about likes? You can't take likes to the bank, so just keep putting out good content and know that it's going to resonate with the right people, or should you be checking analytics?
Well, I think you should definitely check Google Analytics. Some people obsess over it and check multiple times in a day, and that time could be better spent actually creating content and doing other things. But it is helpful to see if what you're doing is working. And one way to measure that, well, there's actually several ways inside of Google Analytics. One is how many people are coming to your blog. Is that growing from month to month? And then you can also set up goals to, you know, check the percentages of people opting in and that type of thing. So you can really measure whether or not what you're doing is working when you look at Google Analytics. And I'll give you an example with that, is that a friend of mine had done this experiment where he created 100 YouTube videos and wrote 100 blog posts in 100 days, so one every day for 100 days. And I thought, wow, that would be awesome. So I decided to give it a try, and I was keeping track of my Google Analytics, and it really wasn't making a huge difference in terms of my traffic or any of those other important metrics. And so I ended that experiment early. I did it for about 30 days, and then I cut back because I just was able to see through Google Analytics that it really wasn't having the desired impact that fit with the amount of time that it was taking me.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, I was doing a an interview for another show yesterday, and before we got on, the guy asked me, so how many downloads you get? And I said, I have no idea. I really don't. And first of all, I'm so busy, I don't even think to, at a moment, oh, let me go check all my stats. I've never been kind of stat-driven. I really believe that if you put out good content on a regular basis, and I love your rhythm of blogging or market, your marketing rhythm sounds like a good trademark you should make, but you know, I've always believed that if you just keep putting out content in a number of ways in a number of media, that you are going to attract, you know, the right clients and prospects. So for somebody who's just starting out blogging, or you know, they want to blog, or they want to blog more, they've had a blog but it's got like 6 posts on it in the last year, what strategies do you have about how to get fast results? You know, because here's what I know about working with entrepreneurs, we love to see results. I mean, it's like if you go on a diet, man, if I can just lose half a pound or a pound, I'm going to be motivated to keep going. But if I like start working out and cut out all the crap from my diet, and 2 weeks later I weigh more, that's really debilitating to my
yeah,
mindset,
exactly.
Right? So how can I love to help people get like successes right away, even in little ones, because I think they lead to bigger ones. So maybe you could share a couple strategies with us.
Okay, sure thing. Well, the thing that comes to my mind immediately as you're asking that is that it can be difficult to have really fast results with blogging, but instead of, let's say, doing that blog post every day, like I was trying to do, maybe doing one a week or a couple a week or whatever fits with you, and then investing time promoting those specific pieces of content that you create. So, you know, it used to just be thought, and I think it used to be more true, that if you just create the content, the people will come. And to some degree, that's true. But again, there's just so much stuff out there now that you have to work a little harder to promote it. So I would say for sure, if you want to get the most bang for your buck in terms of your time to create the content, and then really focus on maybe one or two social media platforms where you really build a presence and connect with a lot of people and share your content on those things. And I've seen huge difference in that when I don't just write content, I don't just create my content, but I also spend a good amount of time connecting with people on social and promoting my content in that way. And that definitely speeds up the process.
You know, I think one of the things that holds people back is lack of time, but the other one I know for a fact holds people back is, what in the world am I going to blog about? So how do you come up with content ideas and, you know, what to write about?
Okay, sure. Well, one thing that you can do is ask your readers. That's one of the best things. This is assuming that you have an email list, which is something that bloggers should definitely work at building right away, because it enables you to communicate with people regularly. So if you email your readers, like I have sent an email with a subject line that's something like, I need your help, you know, and it'll just say something like, I'm planning out my content for the next month or the next quarter or whatever it may be, and I want to create content that will resonate with you, that will help you. What's your biggest, you know, blogging problem, or, you know, that type of thing. So I'll ask a question or two and ask them to reply to the email. I get those back, and, you know, not all of them are great things for me to write about, but a lot of them are ideas right there that I can then use to plan out my content. And it's based on what my readers are wanting me to write about rather than just me coming up with an idea. And so that's one way. And that's actually probably the number one way that I would say. Another thing is to consider the questions that people ask on a regular basis. Whether you're seeing them ask it on social media or other places, look at those questions and jot down those and use your blog post to answer those people's questions. So those are the biggies right there, would be the two things that I would say, is get input from other people and write things that will meet their needs.
Yeah, that's good. I always love getting feedback from, I mean, all you got to do is ask, and Intel, I call it Intel. Intel's awesome.
Right.
Talk about writing a blog with what you call your unique voice. What do you mean by that?
You know, it's not trying to be somebody else. It's being yourself. And there's only one you, And people will either like you or not, you know, and it's okay that some people won't really like your way of doing things because that means that you're not the right person for them. You know, they're not the right readers for you. So, like, let's say, for example, that you don't look at someone like Seth Godin and say, oh, well, he writes these really short blog posts and they're very effective and, you know, whatever. So I'm going to try writing posts like Seth Godin. Now, maybe that is your style and you can do a good job with that. But if you're trying to be someone else, you're going to be kind of like this cheap imitation. So instead of that, just doing what makes sense for you, what works for you, what's comfortable and natural for you. And so, yeah, that's really the bottom line with that is don't try to be a cheap imitation of somebody else. Be yourself. Use your own personality, and your content will resonate with the people who are right for you.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. What do you think about repurposing content? Like if you wrote a blog post, how many other places could you use that content? Would you, you know, use portions of it in social media? Would you just simply promote that blog post? Or what do you think about repurposing?
Well, repurposing is, I think, a really, really important thing to do. And if people aren't repurposing content, they're really missing out on being able to reach as many people with their content as they should. And there's several ways that you can repurpose content. You can go through the content and you can take little snippets and create tweets or create images for Pinterest or Facebook that have those little bits of content on them. You could take your blog post and put related ones together along with maybe some transitional information, some transitional content to make it flow together and create an ebook from it. You could take maybe a few related posts and take the main points from it and use that as content for a podcast. A lot of people are starting to do audio blog posts. So in addition to the written blog post, they'll just record an audio version of it. And so there's any number of ways that you can do things. And another thing I love doing is taking the main points from a blog post and using that to create a PowerPoint presentation and uploading that to SlideShare. And then from there, I can take that and maybe add some animations and an audio version and save it as a video and upload it to YouTube. So it's not like just copying and pasting the blog post and sticking it a bunch of different places, but it's maybe taking snippets of it and using it in different ways and putting it on different platforms.
That's some really great advice there. So, Rebecca, I'm sure there's going to be people that want to connect with you and learn more about you and your services. What's a good website to send them to?
Sure. Well, the best place to connect with me is on my website, which is professionalcontentcreation.com. And then I'm active on Twitter. I'm at R. Livermore on Twitter. And my Facebook is facebook.com/content creation.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much. It's been a really, really a great show. Lots of great content. I greatly appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Jim. I've really enjoyed this.
Cool. Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with Rebecca Livermore. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week, and until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.